The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. This is a special edition of the Bears Coaches Show, featuring team chairman George McCaskey. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by Miller Lite, University of Phoenix, and Walgreens. Now, live from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome into a special edition of the Bears Coaches Show tonight after a perfect night at Soldier Field. If you were there, I'm certain you've thawed out from now, and you were warm during the course of a 45-28 win over the Dallas Cowboys. It was the coldest game in Cowboys regular season history, the coldest game for them since the Ice Bowl, and it all came on the retirement of number 89, Mike Ditka, and an outstanding ceremony at halftime at Soldier Field. This is the Bears Coaches Show live in the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall, and pinch hitting tonight for the head coach Mark Trestman and his staff is the chairman of the board, George McCaskey, a central figure in last night's production. You got out there at halftime and did the honors with Coach Ditka accepting what he feels is one of his, if not the biggest honor in his life, in a lifetime of honorable work on the football field and on the sideline as a coach. How'd it go?
Well, family and friends have been razzing me unmercifully about my voice cracking, but
and knowing you, I knew you'd come out of the gate with that thought.
Well, I figured I'm like the other speaker at Gettysburg. Nobody knows or cares who that guy was or what he said. Coach was the main event, and he was so gracious. It was so great to see. And how about our fans?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, braving the single-digit temperatures, the below zero wind chills, not only for the game, but at halftime, instead of going to the John or going to get a beer or going downstairs or going inside or going to the warming center, to stay there and pay tribute to Coach Ditka, it was awesome. And, you know, every once in a while you get one of those special moments, standing at midfield and watching the coach waddle out on the red carpet, and
yep,
hear that thunderous ovation. That was one of those moments. That was really cool.
Well, you know, in the booth last night, you know, so Jim Schwantz was there. Jay was looking at it somewhere else. Jay Hilgenberg, but Tom and I, you know, we were glued. We wanted to hear every word, and that's the captivation of the moment. But it's the captivation of Mike Ditka also. What was he going to say? How was he going to react? And I really wanted to see how the fans were going to react. And true to form, on their feet and lined up across the stadium, you're exactly right. They did not take a break. They stood there and watched, and that's something everybody's going to take with them now. That's the great part of a franchise with a rich history. In whatever sport it may be, it affords you the opportunity to have events like this.
Yeah,
you know?
It was great. The fans were fantastic, best in the world. And, of course, the great capper to the evening is we won the game.
Absolutely. And at a time when this team absolutely needed a victory, if I'm not even talking about the playoff picture, just because it just needed a win. And it was a cathartic win. It was unbelievable. We're going to talk about that, too. But on the presentation and the work that the organization did, the broadcasting department, all the different departments coming together to put on this event. And it was not just, hey, you know, by the way, we got to do the Ditka retirement function on the night that the Bears play the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. This was many months in the making, and a lot had to come together for this to happen.
Yeah. Greg Miller and his crew did a great job on the video pieces that were on the big boards, and John Bostrom and his crew did a great job on getting all the elements for the stage and the trophies and the Hall of Fame bust and all that. Scott Hagel and his crew did a great job. We had 89 lapel pins. We had 89 on the play clock, 89 on the game clock.
89 on the stadium. It was like Batman, you know, 89 in lights.
Yeah, I saw that on the south facade of Soldier Field. And then as Barb and I were driving home last night, you know, warmed by victory, we are heading south on Columbus, or north on Columbus. And we see 89 in lights on the skyscrapers in the city. It was great to see.
It was something. And you've made the statement, and I quoted you in a piece we did with Coach Ditka for the Bears television show on Bears Game Night Live on Fox on Sunday morning. Mike Ditka is the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
That's quite the statement given the history. But he in so many ways is exactly that. Not just because of his coaching. It's because of his performance on the field as well, and just what he does for the organization beyond what we've seen here in Chicago. Just his reputation has allowed, you know, we joke about the super fans, and it's the continuing marketing of the Bears logo because of Mike Ditka.
Well, it goes beyond marketing. You know, you played a word association game and you said two words, Chicago Bears, Mike Ditka. You said Ditka, it'd be Bears.
Bears.
The Bears, yeah. You know. Everything that the Bears represent, rough and tumble, no nonsense, hard on the sleeve, everything you got. And he exudes that. He did as a player. He did as the coach. And even now, you know, everything about him says Chicago Bears.
Iron Mike was weathering that cold last night. I did go on the sidelines, mostly just to see how cold it really was down there. And believe me, it was like somebody smacking you in the face with a freezer, because it was very cold down there. And I said, hey, how you hanging in there? He goes, better than the kickers. They're not going to be able to kick the ball tonight. But he was out there and went on the ESPN set as well. Out of the presentation, the video presentation, 19 different players. I mean, I'm guessing I know which one is your favorite, but I'm not going to guess completely. So which one was yours out of all those?
Two stand out because they said it as well as anyone, Gary Fensick from our 85 team and Bob Wataska from our 63 team. And both basically said what I tried to say, except that my mouth was frozen, which was, it is overdue and it is about time. I think Fensick's way was, finally, the Bears are retiring Mike Ditka's number.
I think a lot of people love the Dent McMichael Hampton trio. That was hilarious.
Yeah, they're lobbying.
They're lobbying, and you can't blame them for that. And then have Jim Harbaugh to finalize the whole piece. That was something. I mean, he experienced all of Ditka, you know, and it was a very, very well-spoken ending to that piece, that video presentation.
Well, you talk about the coach's influence. You saw three guys there that were or are head right. coaches for other teams, Les Frazier, Mike Singletary, and Jim Harbaugh. So it's had a profound influence. And Les Frazier said, yeah, a great influence on me as a player, as a coach, and as a man.
And I think anybody associated with that bunch feels the same way. It was some kind of night. And great for the fans. That's the thing. It's great for Mike Ditka. And I was at his restaurant today. Had a luncheon to do with Kyle Long, who also embraces what had happened last night. And, wow, this is what an organization to be a part of. But there was still a vibe in the restaurant. I could hear people talking about, wow, here a night after the retirement of this jersey. So the buzz is very much alive in town.
Shotgun snap is back to Josh McCown. Stepping up, got a lob to the end zone. Up in the air. Jeffrey makes the catch. Right corner of the end zone. You have got to be kidding me. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. On the deepest edge of the right corner of the end zone.
Alshon Jeffrey for the third week in a row is the Bears play of the week. Brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Welcome back in with George McCaskey, the Bears chairman of the board. I don't think you could draw up anything sweeter than that catch right there.
That was a great catch. Ted Phillips and I had a great view of it because we were down in that tunnel waiting to go out for halftime. And so we saw the whole drive coming toward us. And on that play, the ball is coming right toward us in flight. And I'm thinking, it's overthrown. We're going to have to kick a field goal. And then Alshon comes down with it and gets both feet down. It was just an awesome catch.
He's a rubber band. His body moves in whatever direction it needs to collect the pass. His hands, I mean, I heard, I scanned the dial nationally today more so than locally just to hear what people were talking about. I knew they'd talk about two things, Josh McCown, Jay Cutler, and they were going to talk about Alshon Jeffrey and the Bears offense in general.
Yeah, Alshon, if you remember, Phil Emery traded up in the second round to get him, and I remember him telling Ted and me he's got the best hands in the draft.
Right, and that's what this discussion was today. Those hands are, you know, they're just tremendous. And ever since that game, and now I forgot the game when he caught the ball in the end zone, but he didn't maintain possession all the way to the ground, and so.
Well, he did maintain possession, but that's part of the bridge at this point.
A judgment call, exactly. But ever since then, He is emphasizing. He takes those mitts and he grabs that ball. There's nothing. Yeah, that's vice grip tight.
He doesn't bring it into the body anymore.
No, he doesn't.
Situation.
Exactly. And that very much is like a basketball player. You know, they tell you when you go for the rebound, don't bring it down to get it knocked out. He just keeps it down. Just tremendous. And the throw had to be exactly that as well. It was very similar in nature. I'm certain it's almost the same play against the Minnesota Vikings the week before, and he made both catches. So I know we're
times you're like,
how did he get that? And Jeez. Then and they get to get the feet down, but what a view! You'll never forget that pass. I mean I waited a half a tick because I thought it was overthrown as well. But you're learning quickly not to give up on any throw to Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah,
and for that matter, you can go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're already half frozen, and we'd only been there a couple minutes, but we were high-fiving each other. It was great.
Yeah, and for that matter, you have to look at it that way with Martellus. You have to look at it that way with Brandon Marshall, because the size allows for these guys to clean up any throw, wherever it may be. And, boy, what a joy. Alshon Jeffrey, right now, they've combined. He's combined for 17 catches, 333 yards, 3 touchdowns the past couple of weeks, 75 catches, 1,193 yards, 6 touchdowns on the season. Certainly a Pro Bowl level, and Brandon Marshall hit the 1,000-yard mark, and so these guys are headed, you know, with 3 games to go, some really impactful numbers in team history. It hadn't happened since 1995, a pair of 1,000-yard receivers here.
And Robbie Gould hit the 1,000-point career mark.
Matt Forte over 1,000 yards rushing, so that's the number. That's a big number as the Bears get the victory last night. So, when you're in that situation, out of the norm of what you would do on a regular day, waiting for the halftime ceremony, you're trying to peek at every single snap because every single snap matters, right? I mean, was it hard to watch the game from that vantage point?
No, it's pretty cool, except for the cold.
Yeah.
You know, you wonder how the fans, you know, we were just down there for a couple minutes, but the fans, 3 hours plus.
Well, 2 weeks, 2 games in a row. So you had the Ravens, the Storms, they weathered that as well. And because you do not know in this time and place what you're getting when you come to Soldier Field.
Not only did they weather it, but they were very cooperative.
Yes.
Followed the directions of the stadium management team. Everybody got along. I was in a couple of concourse areas. You know, it was pretty crowded. You know, toe-to-toe, okay, 15 minutes. Yeah. Nearly 2 hours, that can get very uncomfortable after a while. But
right, and people
did the right thing.
You know, they were encouraged to maintain their presence in the corridor, and a few times some tried to get back into the seating area, the lower bowl, I know right in front of, but you know, when they were told to turn right back around, yeah, very well behaved all the way around. But Bears fans know how to do cold weather now. I mean, there have been some super cold games. I remember that Atlanta game in 2005 when Michael Vick didn't appear to be at all interested in playing football that day. That was when Rex Grossman came off the bench after coming back from injury in 2005. That was a very cold game. What's your coldest?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, the Favre game.
He said Chicago?
It was. Yeah. Or even as a kid.
Well, the coldest game I remember was the 63rd championship game. And I was 7 years old. And I remember two things about it. One, we won. And two, it was cold as hell. I don't think my toes have thawed out yet. And those were in the days where, you know, you wore your best dress shoes, and then you put the plastic bread bags over the shoes, and then you put the feet in the galoshes, you know, not like insulated boots.
It right.
Just like,
they offered no protection, in other words. But just there's some 7-year-old that was at that game last night. We'll be able to tell that memory to his kids one day. And to his family. So that's the beauty of sports.
Takes the snap.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with George McCaskey on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
Takes the snap. Stepping up. Off the middle. He goes for the 5. Dives into the end zone. Helicoptered in. Touchdown, McCown. Touchdown, Bears.
And Josh McCown, our Player of the Week, brought to you by Tempur-Pedic, back at the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios in Hallis Hall with Chairman of the Board, George McCaskey. Jeff Joniak here on the Bears Coaches Show until 7:30 tonight. So pleased you've joined us after the Bears went over the Cowboys last night. Sets the table for a great week and a great day here at Hallis Hall. That Josh McCown touchdown run, it reminded me of one when Jay, I think it was his first year here, he got against the Lions. I know because I have that picture on my wall in my office at home. And it was not quite a complete helicopter, but it was close. But again, there is a gritty side also of Josh McCown. And I think you saw that in a couple scrambles. That was a big third down scramble. They were unbelievable on third down last night. But
yeah, happy for the guys, kid. Both of those guys, very tough. Very happy for Josh. He's just a great guy.
How would you describe him day to day? When you do see him around, you've been at moments with him and events and so forth.
Well, both of those guys, Jay and Josh, I would say the kind of guys, you know, if you're walking down a dark alley, you want them next to you because you know they're gonna have your back.
And being a sports fan like you are, and being a Bears fan like you are, you could probably appreciate the water cooler talk today about the quarterback position. I mean, it's got to be at an all-time high for that position.
This is why I'm so happy, and I go out of my way to assure Bears fans that I don't have anything to do with player personnel decisions. So they don't have to worry about that.
Right, but it was fun, and you know, he threw the four, he ran for one. That's five he was responsible for. But as Coach Trestman indicated, you know, profusely after the game on our show, it was a village. Now that offensive line did a heck of a job. Barely got touched last night. Again, I was with Kyle Long earlier today. He said the work they did in practice last week, and I know people hear about practice, and you know, to Mark Trestman, practice is everything. So they cleaned up a lot of stuff on the run game, and he said it really made a difference last night. So we saw some of that too.
Yeah, O-line did a great job, and I'm hardly an X's and O's guy, but Jermon Bushrod did an outstanding job on that number or whatever he is.
Yes. For the Pokes. Mr. Ware.
Yeah.
The Cowboys came in with a bunch of sacks. I know they got a bunch of sacks in the first three games of the year, and that defense is ranked 32nd in the league, but they had somebody at each level of that defense of note, and so it wasn't like a bunch of bums out there trying to stop the Bears. But to score on all eight possessions, I've been talking about that all day. I've never seen anything like it. And it's only happened three times this year in the NFL when a team has not punted. And it happened in 1972 for the Bears, the last time that somebody like Adam Pylish, who apparently had a complete group of reporters around his locker yesterday. And apparently Aaron Cromer walked by and said, hey, why are they interviewing him? He didn't do anything. And that's the rarity of this moment. I mean, eight possessions, eight scoring drive. Beautiful.
Yeah,
we can't get better.
We were yelling at the end for the kneel down with 6 seconds because we didn't want that to be counted as a possession on which we didn't score. But that's the way it goes in the NFL.
That's the way it goes. McCown now is throwing for 1,809 yards, 13 touchdowns, just one interception. He is now the third-rated quarterback in the NFL at 109.8. And he did it, and you can appreciate this. Given your roots here, you're rooting for your home team. He wasn't rooting for his home team, but he grew up in a small Jacksonville, Texas town, wearing a Cowboy uniform when he was a little kid. So being on Monday Night Football on the night that Mike Ditka is a Jersey retired who played in both cities and was coached by Landry and Halas, and he's on the field trying to keep the Bears in a playoff hunt. I mean, that's a magical moment. I mean, he's 34 years old. You know, it's just a tremendous story.
Yeah, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And I hope that your bosses aren't hoping that his quarterback rating goes down to 105.9.
Hey, believe me, any angle that Ron Gleason and company will use to promote the radio station, it'll be right in their wheelhouse. And it's you're a very aware consumer of radio to pick that up and put that out there for us. So nice job. You've just given him something to work with.
Well, I used to be in the TV business.
All right, until, you were.
my news director called me in his office and said, George, you've got a face for radio.
So, hey, how about this? So week 14 of the NFL was the highest scoring week in NFL history. The most touchdowns even before they played last night, but the end result was nearly 900 points.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
If you're a football fan, college
like
and pro was a great weekend.
But do you like that as a football fan?
High scoring? Well, I'm a defense guy, but, you know, I'll take the scoring, especially when you're watching. Philadelphia-Detroit, that was an awesome game. And then what was it? Minnesota-Baltimore, you know, five touchdowns in the last two and a half minutes.
Yep.
That was a great game.
So NFL fans are
was awesome.
They're being treated to some good stuff.
He's the big net, man. You know, that's you put it around him and he just goes and gets it. And so it's fun playing with those guys. And it's a great core. And you know, you'd be hard pressed to find a group, you know, top to bottom as good as these guys. And so I'm thankful to get to play with them because, you know, they make the quarterback's job easy. And you know, especially you know when Alshon's making catches like that.
That is Bears quarterback Josh McCown after last night's win over the Dallas Cowboys, called him the Big Net. People are trying to come up with nicknames for Alshon Jeffrey. I've heard Mega Sean off of Megatron, but I say leave that one in Detroit. And just, he's Alshon. He's Jeffrey. And that happens to be a pretty good name right now, right?
Yeah, he's a good guy. It shows you've arrived when they're trying to think of nicknames for you.
Yeah, but he's caught everybody's attention now in the league, that's for sure. And all the analysts are saying, okay, I know you don't want to talk a ton of X's and O's here, but you know your football, and the fact is simple that a guy's making all these plays, you're going to start putting double coverage on him at some point, which is going to open up things for Brandon Marshall that he has rarely seen, and that is one-on-one coverage, which is what Mark Trestman constantly hopes for, is one-on-one coverage, because that's where these guys excel. They're not going to be easily stopped at the line of scrimmage. They're going to beat the jam, and they're going to get one-on-one. They're going to win contested balls. And I know last night I described several plays about contested balls, and that's certainly part of the Trestman vocabulary. You got to win contested balls. So that's the beauty of a second receiver having some kind of impact on the game like that. It'll help Brandon.
Yeah, who'd have thunk that defenses might be considering about not focusing on stopping Brandon Marshall, and it'd be great if they double up Alshon. To open up things for Brandon and for the running game. And you saw what happened with Matt last night and Michael Bush for that matter.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of this particular scheme because it could just, you know, how many leaks are you going to be able to plug? You know, that's the offensive side of the ball. Here with George McCaskey until 7:30 tonight. Watch Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz live from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Halas Hall every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. It's 7:06 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. So a lot of print about that Philadelphia game that you enjoyed so much. And people projecting Super Bowl Sunday and what it might be in New York. Do you care? Do you care what the conditions are for a Super Bowl as an owner of a professional football team?
You care. You want the best possible environment for the most competitive game. But if it's weather conditions like the snow in Philadelphia, it's going to be even for both teams. And that was a very interesting game, I thought, because in the first half, it looked like neither team knew how to handle it. And then somewhere the light went on for both teams, and you saw some pretty sophisticated offensive play calling and teams becoming productive. So they adapted to the elements. We'll see what happens on George Halas's birthday, February 2nd, 2014. Hope we're there to witness it firsthand.
Wouldn't that be great? That's the plan, right? That's the plan. That is the absolute plan and goal. I think the coaches, the light bulb went off. Let's see. Let's just give it to Shady McCoy because he tore it up. I mean, that. If you can score 34 points in the second half of a snowstorm with about 4 to 5 inches of snow, because that's what it looked like to me, man, you're doing something right. And so that was fun to watch. Me personally, I can't stand indoor football. I don't like indoor football. I love football, but I don't like indoor football. So I think the elements are part of the whole story of professional football. It's what made the game what it is. If everybody plays outside, you deal with what happened. Cold and legendary games. I touched on the Ice Bowl. That was the coldest game the Cowboys ever played. That's the beauty of the game.
Yeah, on TV today they were showing the 1948 championship game in Philadelphia in the middle of a snowstorm. So
it's going to happen at some point, sometime, somewhere.
The Bears Coaches Show with George McCaskey and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
We wanted to get that bitter taste out of our mouths, so we beat it out of each other all week. You know, we had the opportunity to go outside and weather the conditions, which was a great opportunity for us. And also, you know, just from the interior run standpoint, we did some things to work on our double teams, and we struggled a little bit early, but we were able to find that sweet spot there in the second half.
That's Bears rookie guard Kyle Long after yesterday's win over the Dallas Cowboys, 45-28. It is 7:13 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM here with George McCaskey, delightful kid, perfect spot for him. We talked about it earlier today. couldn't have asked for a better place to start his pro football career.
Yeah, we love him. He's everything that epitomizes what being a Chicago Bear is all about. He's got talent and gives it everything he's got. And as we're finding out, he's very quotable.
He is very quotable. And he was at this event this afternoon. You know, it's not easy getting back on your feet after a Monday night game. And he was there, you know, and gracious with his time, you know, very nice with the people. And he's embraced that he wants to hear about Bears fans. So a gentleman came up. He goes, "Hey, my father can't make it. He's a 50-year Bears fan. He's got a question, and I'm not going to repeat what the question was. He asked a question. He answered the question as best he could. He goes, "Hey, please give your dad my best. Let him know I appreciate his support." You know, so he's really aware of the Bears fan. And you can't always get that from guys, obviously. There's a lot of young kids here. But this group does spend a lot of time working in the community, some of it on their own, some of it the organization asks them to help out. But you can use the Washington, Illinois, and Cole City example as best as anything. The desire and the give back from this group of guys is really special.
Yeah, our guys get it, and they get out there, and Kyle's a good example of that. You mentioned Washington, Illinois. Robbie Gold organized a group that went down there on an off day a couple weeks ago. These guys understand their role in the community, and they do a great job with our community relations department, Caroline Schrenker, Kate Rackow, Jessica Kies, and Matt Simeone. They do it right.
And you wouldn't suspect that just by the mere presence of a gigantic football player signing autographs or whatever is a healing form of work, but it is. And you also, a big part of that, going to these places and witnessing it too firsthand. What's the reaction from the people?
I've seen it firsthand. When we went to Washington, our first stop was at Washington High School. And Robbie and the guys talked to the football team in the gym. And then we went through three lunch periods. And the players just mingled around, talked to kids, gave autographs, posed for photographs and so forth, just made small talk. But several of the staffers came up to Ted Phillips and me and said, it's great to see the kids smiling again. So just that little interaction, you think maybe, oh, it's not that much, but it means a lot to a lot of people.
And the effort it took to do it is the best part you could do, you know? It's a little bit of time commitment and organization, boom, but you're there and you get something out of it as well, don't you?
Yeah, Robbie rallied his teammates, and they made it happen. And as so often is the case, you get more out of it probably than the people you're interacting with.
716 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. We're here with the chairman of the board of the Chicago Bears at the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall, and we invite you to enjoy a free Red's Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season, brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. And it is Tuesday, but no takeaways last night, but plenty over the course of the year. Bears second in the league in points off takeaways with 82 this season. Back to last night. Mike Ditka, extremely appreciative going into the event. How about after the event? Anything happen?
He called me today and just to say how much he appreciated everything that we had done, and I couldn't help but think, you know, this is a surreal experience. The coach calling me? Are you kidding me? We should be calling him to again say how grateful we are that he accepted this recognition and how smoothly he handled it. And if you want a moment, you know, to latch onto, how about the end of his speech? With the Go Bears.
Right, and he delivered it right on cue as only he can. Yeah. He has a flair for the moment. He always has. We played just a simple montage. We could only jam in a certain amount, but there are things on YouTube where you can have 10 or 12 minutes of Mike Ditka quotes.
Excellent.
Over the years, it is an absolute must listen because it just it takes you back. And the first assignments I had in my sports career were covering the 85 Bears and attending those news conferences in the mid to late 80s into the early 90s of Coach Ditka, and those I'll never forget. I will just never forget. And that's only from the coach's angle. You know, I didn't have the opportunity, obviously, to see him play live, or, you know, everything is on tape. But, boy, just a quote machine. I did ask him what his favorite personal quote that he came up with, and he was quoting a Kris Kristofferson song, and I forgot the song, so I can't share with what it was, but he's a big Kris Kristofferson, who I did not know wrote as many songs as he did, because I was hunting for the lyrics.
He was a very prolific songwriter.
Yeah, evidently.
I'll tell you one of my favorite post-game Ditka press conference moments was we went up to the Metrodome, beat the Vikings, and somebody, Thayer or Hilge or Van Horn, gave the coach one of those Viking caps.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So he puts the cap on, and he does the whole post-game news conference with the cap on, no explanation, completely deadpan, answering every question, but he had this ridiculous-looking Viking hat on his.
And he did his television interview with Johnny Morris the same way.
Yeah.
Because that's on YouTube off. You want to relive the moment.
I'll check it out.
The Bears Coaching Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Players, we had in 1985 are the greatest collection of guys I've ever been around. My teammates in 1963, what a great bunch of guys. That was Coach Hollis's last championship, and I'm very proud to be a part of that team and what those guys accomplished. But I could go on, but I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and go Bears!
That's great. It's there forever now. Mike Ditka's retirement ceremony of his number last night, number 89. It went off without a hitch, perfect, including the game, as the Bears walloped the Dallas Cowboys, scoring on all eight of their possessions.
I wouldn't say that it went off without a hitch. But that was quintessential,
hey,
Mike
it's
Ditka.
It's good to laugh, right? It's good to laugh. But so do you know why that happened? Did you try to yell over
me?
Well, or were you just so excited?
I was fired up.
Yeah.
And I was cold.
Yeah, that's a bad combination. And so you were telling me in the break, you had 1 minute. Did you feel you're going to have enough time to say what you wanted to say succinctly to the point to deliver this moment?
Yeah, because like I said before, you know, the other speaker at Gettysburg, I told Mike, I'm going to try to finish up as soon as I can. So that you have more time. He's like, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. But I wanted to say that it's overdue. And I wanted to say on behalf of Coach Hollis, and I wanted to speak, I thought, for the fans about everything he's meant to the Bears as a player and a coach.
When you decided to do this, and I know you've been quoted on this extensively, and we've talked about it, but was it a tie-in as well? Just that the timing was right with the 63 championship team as well being honored this year? Is that somewhat a part of it or not?
That wasn't
or
really
a part of it. Two separate things.
Two separate things. We thought it was appropriate. We thought it was overdue. We were concerned about the numbers because now with 14, we have more retired numbers than any other team. And we went through a bunch of options. None of them seemed very attractive. And we had to check with Tony Medlin, our equipment manager, to make sure that he approved of what we were trying to do.
And, you know, with that being said, you only hope that we continue as an organization to have more guys become legends.
Yeah.
this is a great problem to have.
How about this problem, that we've had so many great players that we can't retire any more numbers? And there are other deserving guys out there. There are two numbers that were worn by two Hall of Famers. 13 was worn by George Trafton and Joe Staudahar, and 81 was worn by George Conner and Doug Atkins. And then we got guys like Hampton and McMichael and Richard Dent, you know, wanting their just reward. And it's gotten to this, as absurd as it seems. Merely having a Hall of Fame career can't get your number retired. Isn't that a great problem to have?
Yeah, but there are other ways.
And how about Brian Urlacher?
Right. There are other ways, though, to honor these gentlemen, and I'm sure the great minds will put it together and come up with things to do over time, right?
Yeah, that's what we've got to do, come up with ways to properly acknowledge what these guys have meant to the Bears and our fans, And I'm hoping that somewhere along the line, the NFL will help us out by permitting duplicate numbers on offense and defense.
Is that a possibility?
Well, they do it in college. I haven't heard any talk about it. And, you know, since we're in this class by ourselves with so many retired numbers, you know, they may be saying, well, you created that problem for yourselves. Now live with it, which we're happy to do.
The beauty of this new building here at Hallis Hall, the reconstruction and the additions, is that the history is just oozing out of the pores of the building with a museum-like environment in various areas of the building where certainly the employees and the players themselves and the coaches can embrace and take the time to take a look at things. Every fan will not be afforded that opportunity, but it is a mini Hall of Fame in here right now.
And that was part of the project. When you first walk in the door at Hallis Hall, one of the first things you see are the 14 retired numbers up on the balcony. And we've got the Hall of Fame inductees and a timeline of George Hallis's life. But really, someday the dream is to have a bricks and mortar Bears Hall of Fame.
Is that right? Okay. Where?
That's part of the challenge.
Yeah.
The most logical place, of course, would be somewhere in or around Soldier Field, but we have to work with the Park District and see if we can work that out.
And I'm certain with the charter franchise in the National Football League, there's plenty to put in it.
Yeah. Our archives department with Brian McCaskey and Dan Yuska has been carefully collecting and cataloging what we have from our great history. We did have a fire back in 1961, which unfortunately destroyed a lot of records and memorabilia. But we've got plenty to display.
Yeah. Are there things that even you haven't seen that you've heard would be great additions, but you're just keeping it for something really special that the organization has collected over the years?
Well, one of the things that we talked about before we went on the air was Mike Ditka's letter to George
Ellis,
saying if there's ever an opening in the head coaching position, I'd like to be considered. We'd love to know where that is.
Yeah, I asked Mike. He says he has no idea. But he penned it with his own, you know, he scribbled it on a piece of paper.
Yeah, if it can be found, we'd love to display it.
That'd be great. We're wrapping up here. Listen to the next Bears All Access radio show brought to you by Sports Authority this Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. It's a never-ending pursuit for a title. 7-6 team right now. How are things looking from your point of view?
All eyes, all efforts are focused on Cleveland. Bring on the Browns, and as Coach Dick has said so well, go Bears!
All right. Thank you very much for that hour of your time. Really appreciate it. Our Bears coverage for the Bears and Browns will start at 9 a.m. on Sunday, the noon kickoff from Cleveland. Thanks to our Bears broadcasting executive producer, Greg Miller, Bears radio producer, Andy Gersher, and Steve Grzanich. For Bears chairman, George McCaskey, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for joining us on the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.